Yeah, man. Fuck you.
Check 1, 2.
You should do that on the
screen. Here, speaking to your microphones.
Hello.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Hello.
Do yours again, Austin.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Kind of quiet. Yours is kind of quiet.
Testing 1, 2, 3. That register?
Yeah, Spencer, go ahead.
What are you? From
Hello. Hello. Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
I'm going to sit here with my legs crossed.
All right. This looks a little different than normal, but see how it goes.
When they say that Obama commutes a sentence, does that mean he, like, gets rid of it? How does he, like, pick shit? I always wonder.
No.
You ever think that? How he
decides which sentence it's.
And who? Yeah. Like, how does he know these people?
Yeah, I know.
And why does that happen?
I know, it's like a governor pardoning someone right before he leaves office, right?
He's just fucking, like, just, like, smoking out people from prison right now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
A lot of them?
That girl Chelsea Manning from the WikiLeaks thing pardoned 35 years of her sentence.
It's every prison does.
Huh?
The same thing.
Yeah, everyone does it, right?
Check one.
All right.
Check 1, 2.
This is crazy to me. Are we live streaming this?
Well,
oh boy,
we need. Always wait till the very end.
We need to be appropriate. I do. I mean, I'm just telling myself. What's our user? What's our main user base here?
CrossFitters.
Well, no shit. But like, where do you have like a demographic? Like, what area of the world? What age group?
No, not really. I mean,
can you find out that stuff?
I think if we use different publishing software, we might be able to, like where they're sending it. But the one we use, it's pretty general. It's how many listens per episode, how many downloads per episode. So usually it's around 10,000 listens per episode.
That's good. That's really good. That's good. 10,000 people are going to listen to us.
Great.
All right. How do I do this live thing?
I think you just open up Facebook and say go live.
Well, I'm going to do it on Instagram.
Oh, that doesn't get saved.
I know.
Then you just go in. Do you have your stories put up? No. So here, let me see. Here we
go. No, I'm here for you guys.
All right. Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I'm Blair Morrison. I'm down in the Bahamas at the Reebok Athlete Summit, and today we are joined by Spencer Hendel and Austin Maliolo.
Howdy.
Now, if you guys don't know these guys, then you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast, but they are both CrossFit Games veterans, what, five, six times?
Five times.
And veterans of the Northeast region, and this year there's a different plan afoot.
Different plan of attack.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
Austin and I are going to team up. We're going to go together as one unit.
In the new partner division of the CrossFit Games.
We are unveiling the new individual partner division where you just use each other's strengths in the individual competition and see how it falls. we're going to be going team. Obviously, we are just, what is it, two parts of a team of six. But, yeah, so we're going to be moving on from individual for this year and teaming up under Reebok CrossFit One as our affiliate.
Right. So it's Reebok CrossFit One is the team. That's the gym that you run.
Correct.
Out at Reebok's corporate headquarters.
Yes.
Who's the rest of the team? Who are the other four parts?
So we have Connor Murphy, who is one of our head coaches at Reebok CrossFit One. He's competed in the Latin American regionals, finishes twice, 2 years in a row, when or finished second 2 years in a row when second place didn't make it to the CrossFit Games.
It's devastating.
Devastating.
I did not know that fun fact, but I would like to ask Connor about that.
And you get a medal. So you get a second place medal, you stand on the podium, and you don't go to the game. So obviously been a big driver for him. And then we have Rachel Martinez, individual and team athlete in the past. We have Allie Leard, who was formerly Bushy, who went to the games on a team prior with CrossFit New England. And then Kate Brierley, who finished, I believe, seventh in the Northeast Regional last year. So that's the team that rounds out the six.
Awesome. So how did this come about? Was this like something you guys talked about last year after the games, or was this, later? Was it like during the fall, winter, like thinking about, hey, I gotta gear up again for the Open and the Regionals, and like it would just be more fun to do it together. Whose idea was it? How did it come about?
Yeah, I think Austin and I had talked about it in 2015, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, it was kind of, yeah, maybe, but I kind of want to do one more year as an individual at the CrossFit Games. And, I ended up, Austin and I both competed at the regional, and I was fortunate enough to make it to the games for the sixth time. And Austin was, right there on the cusp as well. Unfortunately missed out. But then this year, 2016 is by, and going on 2017, and Austin and I looked at each other and we were like, man, I don't want to put myself through what you got to put yourself through in order to get to the CrossFit Games again. And we decided that we were going to put our talents together and create a monster squad.
Yeah.
Let's talk about just specifically what you said. Hey, I don't know if I really want to put myself through this again. Like, cause that's something I hear a lot of.
Yeah.
I mean, I went through that a few years ago, and now like more and more of the guys that we came up with, the girls we came up with are saying, man, it's just, I don't know if I want to do that to my body. Yeah. Is that something that you feel like is just getting to be too much a part of the individual competition?
The volume has just gotten so high now, and year in, year out, it's just going to be very hard for individuals to put themselves through that kind of volume and maintain the level of fitness that they're at. I think the lifespan of the quote-unquote CrossFit Games athlete is going to be very short, shorter than what you would see like a typical NFL career or something like that. You see some guys go to the league for 2 or 3 years, but then you also see guys like Matt Hasselbeck that go there for 20 years.
Right.
But I still think your average CrossFit Games now with the volume being this high might be 3 or 4 years.
Well, yeah, and I think if you're just specifically saying CrossFit Games athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's like NFL starters.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes, right. Yes.
Well, I think what needs to be understood is that I know for myself and a lot of people in this house right now, when we started out, like when I trained in 2009, I made it to the CrossFit Games in 2010. I know Spencer is very similar, and for a lot of the individuals here are the same. That doesn't happen anymore. Nope. You need to train 2, 3, 4 years to develop that volume capacity and all the skill sets required. And so therefore, the careers will inevitably be shorter because of that. Because it's not like once you make it to the CrossFit Games, your CrossFit career hasn't just started then. It started 3 or 4 years ago when you actually start that volume accumulation. So I think I know for me personally, a lot of it too is just lifestyle and balance. Going on 30 this year, I love to train. I don't know how to train any different way other than competitively. But I do think that training as an individual to go to the CrossFit Games is a wonderfully selfish endeavor. Someone else was chatting about it yesterday. It's like you just have to really make a lot of sacrifices, and it's a lot of pressure and stress that will take away from other areas of your life, whether it's your own longevity and health, whether it's your relationships, whether it's your family. With a team, I think the stress is still there, obviously, in the moment, but it's really fun to train with other people, and having a team, it's a little less stress because, well, Spencer is a great athlete, so when he's on the barbell, I'm like, thank God, because he's really fit. You know, like,
right.
it's where, like, when I'm alone, I'm like, well, I need to be really fit, and if I'm not doing this right now, I'm the worst human in the world. You know, so I think there's a little bit of that from a life perspective,
Yeah, I agree, man. The team is so much more fun. You guys are going to have so, so much better of a time training and also motivating yourself to train. Like
right.
the individual competitors, they kind of feel like they have to train.
Right.
Right. And when you're on a team, you get to train. Hmm. You look forward to it, and it's not just you. There will be some pressure, obviously, like right. you feel on any competition floor, and you guys right. are going to come in with extremely high expectations.
Yeah.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. Like, you obviously have a lot of experience on your team, you two kind of leading the pack, but the rest of the team, as you said, they're studs.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you guys expecting to get out of this season?
Yeah, I know Spencer and I, when we first, dreamed up the idea of a team, the concept was we don't want to just make a team to go team. Yeah. We want to make a team that can vie to be, on the podium at the games, and so for a lot of it, it's perform, it's execute and win is the goal. Obviously it's fun, but we didn't put a team together just to chest bump and high five, five other people after a workout. We definitely want to win. So the expectations are high. And also, we represent the brand. We represent Reebok and Reebok CrossFit One. And for all of us, it's where Spencer, first came up and started coaching in the Northeast. And, he's been a Reebok athlete, 6-7 years. For us, I think a lot of that's important, too, to represent the brand well. So for a lot of us that have, brands and people that we represent, that's a lot of, it's very important to us to make sure that we represent the best we can.
We've put the proper pieces in play, and people just need to go out there and do their job. Mm. We have people on the team that are very capable of doing great things. And if we all just execute and do our job, great things will come.
Yeah. And that's, I'm glad you said that, because that is the most frustrating part about being on a team.
Yeah.
Because you don't have control of the outcome yeah. by yourself. Now you are dependent on other people to do their job. And sometimes it just doesn't happen, you know? And so, that's one of the things I think is it's not really seen, from the spectator in the stands, how much time goes into not just training, but also learning how to deal with people not living up to expectations. Because, your reaction in the moment can really affect the way the rest of that event is going to go,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
So practicing that as much as practicing the movements – it's going to be huge, and that's all about team chemistry, right?
I mean, things are going to go wrong. Inevitably, something's going to happen, could be a couple things, but it's how you react to those things that happen that kind of makes the outcome of the event or even the weekend. And if you react poorly and it brings your entire weekend down, your entire weekend's done. I mean, you may as well just throw in the hat right there, but if you can, admit that you made a mistake and, deal with it right then and there and put it aside and move on from it, you're going to be able to do good things.
How about the personalities on the team? So Austin, Spencer, I know you guys pretty well. I wouldn't say you guys are the jokesters in any particular group.
Yeah.
Anybody that knows you guys knows that. So, but there are kind of usually roles that kind of sift their way out in a training group. Who's going to be the comedic relief? Who's going to be kind of keeping everybody on task? How's that going to look?
Yeah.
At least what do you think it's going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think Spencer and I guess kind of by default, we are kind of looked at as, the athletes that have been there a handful of times. So, we have to, take that leadership and take that veteran role, with respect and honor that to the rest of the team. So I think, we will always kind of have that role of making, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? How are we going to execute? Sort of that corralling a little bit. Connor is someone he's a military guy. He's an ex-teams guy, but he's also a guy that, he can dance, he can do all that sort of stuff. Everyone loves him. So I think he's a very good job of he does what he's told, but he also can really kind of lighten the mood a little bit. He's got a very unique personality. Anyone that's been in the military at such a high level brings a huge perspective to the team. So he will lead in his own right from that perspective. Our ladies come with, unique backgrounds. And I think for a lot of them, I think they loosen us up a little bit, because, we work with them, we coach with them every day, and they kind of they'll tell us to chill out and relax when we're too uptight.
Really?
Oh yeah, we have a good dynamic with
Kate's
them.
Kate's not afraid to call anyone out.
Yeah, so Kate's good with that. And
she'll call you out.
And Rachel is sort of more like the motherly, hey, be nice to one another sort of deal, and Allie is more or less she'll make you laugh throughout the weekend. She's just how she behaves, how she acts. She's just really doesn't really care about what anyone says or thinks about her. So she's in her own right, you know, very unique, and it makes everyone loosened up. So we have a good dynamic.
You guys have already been training together. Obviously.
Yeah, we were training. We just did Wadapalooza together, which was a good first test of a competition. Obviously, three men and three women in their own division. But it was fun. It was good to just more or less like the psychology of you know, the efficacy of events and how the reaction affects other people. So it was pretty cool.
Nice. Now, what about one of the big reasons a lot of individual athletes end up going team is because it puts stress, like you said, not just on them, but on the people around them, on their families. You guys are both married. I don't know what the rest of the team is as well, but did that kind of work into your mindset? Like, hey, you know, like you said, it's a beautifully selfish endeavor to try to win the CrossFit Games as an individual. Was it kind of like, hey, I'm ready to focus more on my family? Did that play a role in what you guys decided to do? Or is it just that you want to beat Rich at something?
You know,
just walked into the room for our non-video listeners.
Of course, we would love to win, but I think for me, definitely kids, family is shortly down the road, and there's bigger things going on right now than training 6 million hours a day.
It's a lot of hours.
Yeah, I don't know if that works, but I would agree. I think it's priorities and life, you know, and I think as, you know, for everyone that listens out there, I mean, you're at different stages in your life, and I think I was having this conversation last night with someone. It's like, I'm turning 30 this year, you know, and I look at my father who's 60. It's like, I'm like, well, that's where I'm going to be in 30 years, you know, and like in 10 years, you know, like I look at that's 40, you know, like it's kind of crazy. Like your perspective on life changes. Whereas when we see kids coming into the sport now, they're 18 or 19, they look at where we are as the end game.
Right.
Where we look at where we are right now as the start game of life, essentially, where like we need, you know, we're going to have, you know, we're married, we have homes, we have businesses, we have other entities and things we need to take care of. And those priorities start to shift. And I think that's probably the biggest thing of that important piece there. And also just, you know, you need to start to figure out what your next steps are going to be. CrossFit's a huge part of my life, just like it is Spencer's. It's all that I do, essentially. So I do want to be a part of this. And, you know, the team endeavor is not something you take lightly, but it's something that allows you to potentially diversify your output a little more than individual.
Yeah, I mean, it's not lightly, but it's lighter.
Correct.
Right? I mean, you're not worried about it every single day, you know, because you got other people to lean on, and you just look forward to it. Right. Like I said before, you guys are going to see it. You just look forward to training so much more.
Yeah.
Do you think that's something that is going to kind of like not age out, but like prioritize people out of the sport on the individual side? Just, I mean, we've seen in the last 3 to 4 years just astronomical growth and proficiency across the games athletes, right?
Yeah.
There's just very few holes anymore. Mm. It's like, so in order to keep up the pace with that, you got to just spend so much time doing it. You know, can people with families, can people with full-time jobs, can they be competitive at the highest level anymore? I mean, or are they going to be outliers?
I think there's always going to be outliers, but I think the sport's so young and it's changing so quickly where it's hard for us that started in the sport 6-7 years ago to predict where we're going to be 6-7 years from now. I don't think we can effectively do it. Think about if 7 years ago, if we were sitting in this room right now, would none of us could predict where we are right now. We could be like, well, it'd be crazy, you know, like, so I don't know. I do think that if you want to be the best at anything in the world at the highest level, you need to sacrifice everything else in your life. So I don't think you can effectively do other things if you want to be the best. And that shouldn't be new news to anyone in any discipline.
No, not at all. Yeah. But the vast majority of the athletes out there are trying to do just that. They're trying to run businesses. They're trying to have families, and they're trying to, you know, compete at the highest level.
Right.
So it's like,
I just think, you know, it's like obviously we have Rich in the room, and you know, it's like you ask them, you know, well, what did you have to do to be the best to win the CrossFit Games 4 times in a row? Right. The answer is probably simple. That's all I did. That's everything. It's that simple, right? There's the secret, right?
Right. There's a secret, and it's just a hard
one to execute.
Hard one to execute.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
And for those that do it, you admire and you look up to, and that's the differentiating factor. It's not what's your program. It's not how do you recover. None of that matters. Those are excuses, really, that people make. It's what do you put in?
All right. Well, let's talk a little. You brought up program. Mm.
I gotta bounce.
All right. Spencer's gonna leave.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
See you, bro.
Yeah. We'll see you. We'll meet you.
Thanks, Spence.
Yeah.
All right. So you just brought up programming.
Yeah.
One of the things that is like trending big time in the sport and around the world of CrossFit is, you know, athletes trying to find ways to monetize their celebrity or their platform.
Yeah.
Right. So individual programming, running a gym. You know, organizing travel.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. How do you see, like, hey, what kind of stuff is that? What are you doing for yourself?
Yeah.
To, like, kind of make this a business?
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, Spencer just left, but we have the HAM plan. The Hendel and Mariola plan is the politically correct translation of that. But, you know.
Has that been pretty successful?
I guess, how do you define success? And, you know, it's like, you know, do we make money? Yeah, we make some money. I mean, I think a lot of it is, you know, we're brand new with it too. The way I look at it as there's a market of people that want programming. You know, it just in this, I know we're for our listeners out there, we're in a house that has, there's like three or four different, yeah, I mean, you look, there's Ben Smith, there's Rich, there's Tommy Hackenbruck, there's myself. I mean, just there alone, Paul Tremblay, but he's Canadian, so whatever. but, you know, I think there's, you know, four to five different programs available from those individuals. The nice thing is there's no shortage of human beings that want programming. And everyone wants something different. And the key is care. You know, like I know, like for the people that follow our programming, they email, they text. We know we have a close Facebook group, things like that. I talk to, and everyone else I talk to, you put some time in, they stay, and there's success.
Yeah, it's like, how do you get, I mean, it's about attention, compliance, you know, making
Jesus.
It as personal as possible.
yeah. So I think that's the beauty of where we're at in the CrossFit market is where, you know, it's like any business. You try to find, there's a pool of consumers and you try to, I don't look at it as like, well, I'm going to go deliver a better product than this person. I'm going to deliver a different product. And
awesome.
And I think that's important.
Right. So where do you see, what is the difference that you guys are bringing, you and Spencer?
Right. So we do is something that is just more, you know, a lot geared to what I've seen traveling around for level one, level two staff is that the workouts we create, we actually scale twice. So there's like essentially an RX, then we scale it down two levels down for people to apply to their fitness level. Because for as much as people think they know, it's nice to be like, I shouldn't do this workout RX. I need to scale it back. We also target it twice. So
as what does that mean?
So for example, when I work out with Spencer, he's much stronger than I am. He doesn't need to snatch as much as I do. So we may do a workout where like, all right, well, he's in a deadlift because he's good at, you know, he needs to deadlift a little more, but I don't need the deadlift, so I'm good at it. So I'll snatch. I'll target that workout to my weakness. So we'll do the same workout,
okay,
but I will target to a weakness. So each day we have a main workout of the day, but then I'll do a strength target or a metabolic conditioning target or a gymnastic skill target or a, you know, a other type of target, skill target. So we'll do two of those. So you essentially can pick that and replace it based off your weakness.
And so the clients tell you like their list of weaknesses and you kind of give them the choice or are they?
So we have like an app that will show you where you're weaker and stronger to guide you which ones to pick. So like you put in your times on X amount of benchmarks and be like, well, you need to get stronger as opposed to following starting strength or whatever and do that, which you could do, but you know, you probably won't get as fit. You maybe pick the strength target a little more often than not.
Right. Gotcha. It's a little more, it's like, well, it's tailored.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It's, you know, I say it's as tailored as it can be without you emailing me every day.
Which you don't want to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to handle it. Yeah, I would. It'd be nice, but couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And we all, we do, some extra work and some auxiliary work, but but it's and it's lower volume too. It's which is something that I found as I've gotten a little older, that lower volume, higher intensity has been a little more effective for me personally.
Don't even try to tell me that you're trying to go low volume.
Well, I mean, it's relative to what I used to do. I mean, my volume's still higher than your it's higher than what you should be delivering to your at the affiliate level.
I watched you guys go for like 3 hours straight yesterday.
Yeah, but
like licking your lips, you just loved it.
Well, that's the thing, and I will put this. I will say this: if you don't love working out, then you have a problem. You know, like as soon as we get off this podcast, we're going to go work out, as Rich proclaims, for 2 straight hours, and it's going to be great.
I think you said we're going to smash our nuts for 2 straight hours.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
You know, and if you don't enjoy working out, then there's a problem.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. Like, and that's where you just have to be careful and listen to your body.
Right, because you can't overdo it, burn yourself out.
Yeah.
I mean, psychologically, where you're like, don't even want to do it anymore. Right. So, I mean, unpack that a little bit where you say, I'm going to do less volume, more intensity than I used to. Like, what does that look like now compared to what it used to look like, typically?
Well, just...
Like, obviously, this week is an atypical
correct.
Week, right?
But I mean, if you're sleeping 10 hours a day, you're eating and working out, and that's all you're doing, you could work out a lot. For me, I get 5 to 6 hours of sleep a night. You know, I travel every weekend, so I need to maximize the time when I'm under tension. And so, therefore, when I work out, I need to burn it to the ground, work on skills, work on my weakness, but I physically don't have the kind of time that I used to.
Right.
And that's my choice. And so I just need to maximize that time. And for me, that's part of it's taking class. I take class every day
at Reebok CrossFit One.
At my affiliate. That allows me to just do what I'm told, not be on my phone, and warm up, work out, and move on. And that's probably been the most beneficial thing for me from a meditative perspective. I don't have to – no one bothers me. I get coached, which who would have thought is beneficial. Like, oh, hey, move your knees out. Thanks. I will. You know, like things like that. And then from there, hit a session or two beyond that.
Right. That so, things that you need to work on specifically. Yeah. All right. So like all told, we're looking at like 2 hours.
I would say 2 hours of training in a day. You know, and that's not including like the fart around like, bro sessions when you're on a foam roller really doing nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, okay, I like that. I love that you take class every day. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, every day. At our gyms, it's required. You have to if you coach.
Everybody takes a class every single day. Or 5 days a week at least.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part. Obviously, some days are, more difficult. But if you don't take your gym's programming, you need to believe in what you're doing.
Right.
So, yeah, it's important that you live what you actually preach.
And we know from being here at Reebok at the summit that the gym that you're talking about is going to be moving pretty soon.
Yeah.
Right?
So
where are we going?
Yeah, we're moving to the Seaport. So for those of you unfamiliar with the Boston area, you probably have more geographical knowledge than I do there. But it's right literally where the cruise ship pull in off the Atlantic, and they actually port right there. And it's pretty cool. And it's a huge building right on the water. So you literally will look out the window of one side and you see the water.
That's going to be the water you're going to be swimming in.
Probably not. We won't be jumping in that. But
dead bodies in there.
Yeah, if we do something, if nights got a little too long and late, you may end up in there. But beyond that, no, it's going to be cool. We'll have our facility. We'll still be running our training grounds where the CrossFit Games athletes come in. We'll still have, the whole fitness facility will be 30,000 square feet, 2 floors. I mean, it's I think the biggest thing that I've realized in this move is that for anyone out there that ever I hear a lot of people question Reebok, so on and so forth. They live it from the president all the way down to interns and temps that it's a fitness company. They live and breathe it. They want it to be the pinnacle. Whether you're doing CrossFit or you're doing yoga, I mean, and everything in between, it's cool to see that in the new building, that's the main focus. It's the first and second floor. It's going to be beautiful. So I'm excited about it. Sad to be leaving Canton, but, I think change is always difficult, but always gives opportunity for growth and, in my opinion, prosperity. So.
Yeah, and you as the, the head coach, right, the one that's director of fitness programming and everything, you're probably going to get a lot of say on how that the two levels of fitness facility is going to get built out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a unique, fun, and a daunting challenge, but it's also cool to I've you know, just reaching out to other professionals in within the fitness world and learning about, you know, the studio world and, you know, the combat and boxing world, things like that. And, you know, it's what the biggest thing I found is that everyone essentially has the same goal: get people better, you know, create community, have fun, and, you know, create essentially better human beings. And whatever medium that is, I don't think it really matters. What matters is getting people from one point and progressing in the right direction. I think that's the biggest thing I've learned in diversifying, you know, beyond the world of CrossFit.
Right. And Reebok's slogan for the last couple of years has been "Be more human."
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of like their direction.
Yeah.
What they want to reinforce with everybody is, hey, what you're doing, your fitness is making you a better overall person. It makes me think of us being here at the summit, right, with so many incredible athletes.
Yeah.
But the mood is really relaxed and fun.
Yeah.
And I think that might be surprising to some people. They might expect it to be a little more, like, competitive or, yeah, I don't know if, like, standoffish is the right word. But you, yeah, might expect there to be rivalries, you,
right,
know, within the room. Like we got two champions sitting at the table behind us, right? They've gone head-to-head for
years. Since Ben was 14.
Since Ben was prepubescent.
Yeah, he's still 14. He hasn't aged. He's Benjamin Button.
Yeah. Why do you think that's not the case? Why do you think that,
yeah,
at this type of event, the atmosphere is so positive?
I think it goes. I think the first step is that there's no defense in CrossFit. So, like, most people are good people. If they're not, then, you know, you deal with that one-on-one. But I think most people in CrossFit are good people. I can't do anything to, like, impede Rich's progress on a barbell, you know? Like, so, like, there's no – which allows there to be, like, in the moment when you're working out, whether you're at the CrossFit Games or you're, you know, in the Bahamas, I can't do anything about anyone else's performance. I just have to worry about myself. And, I was asked this question earlier, like, well, what do you do when you are in this environment? Well, I just learn from people that are smarter than me. I try to keep my mouth shut and listen and all right, what do you want to do for a workout? Whatever you guys want to do. And I think
I love that about this trip. And everybody's just willing to kind of go off program and just do what the group is doing.
Because the program doesn't really matter. Like, and I want to learn from people that are doing different things than me, because my pea brain is confined by my skull. I have no idea what goes inside Rich's head. And I don't want to know most things, but I do want to know some. but yeah, you know, but I you want to learn. So I think that's what, and those individuals gravitate towards one another. And it's the same in all sports too. I mean, like, I've had the opportunity to work with some professional athletes, and, you know, when they're not on the field, when they're, you know, they're enjoying one another's company, whether you're working out or throwing down or whatever.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think there's something about the training,
yeah,
that brings that out of people.
Right.
Like, everybody's been humbled by a workout or 100 workouts.
Yes.
Right? So when you're constantly being humbled, like, it allows you to then respect other people that put themselves through it, right?
Right.
You know, and I think that's something that we all share. And I think it's really cool that Reebok continues to bring all of us together for this couple of days.
Unreal.
And everybody, you know, nobody really turns it down.
I don't know why you would.
No.
It'd be crazy.
All right, man. I'm going to let you go. But
Roger that.
Real quick, give everybody your social media presence and follow your handle so they can follow you and,
yeah,
see what the team does.
So my social media is A Maliolo. That's on Instagram. That's on Twitter. It's Austin Maliolo on Facebook. Team RCF1. On Instagram is where we post all of our team pictures to prove that we're in one spot all the time training.
We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all relatively local, so it's early mornings and late nights. But other than that, Reebok CrossFit 1 is the gym's handle. And then for Spencer, it's Spec1414 is his Instagram handle. Impressed that I remember that. So, that's where you'll see us.
All right, and go to iTunes, download this episode and all our past episodes, subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating. Thank you very much for joining me, man. I know you're busy, and good luck this year.
Thank you.
All right.
Boom.